Good morning. This was quite the experience. I'm sure a lot of you have read the blogs that we had written, and it was quite an emotional experience for a lot of us. I've been on one trip to El Salvador, and this was something, like Pastor Dave says, there wasn't much doing, but certainly a big learning program. This is in KwaZulu-Natal, is a province in South Africa near Durban. The HIV rate is almost 30%, and it's just unbelievable. So being kind of a researcher myself, I would prepare ahead of time what this meant. So I'm talking today about the medical team there and their home visit. And every day they have a staff meeting. Well, a staff meeting when you're in industry means the agenda, what are we going to do today? Well, they start with prayer, they have worship, and they have song. And when they pray all together. And every part of that staff knows what the other staff member is doing. So it's that togetherness that I'm trying to impart here. Anyway, it's Monday, September 29th, and I have to read because I have to keep my emotions in check here. I was invited by the medical team of Buli and Jabu. These are the two staff members there. Jabu is the big, heavy-set woman, lovely Zulu woman. And Buli is a little bit wiry, and it's kind of like a good cop, bad cop team, and boy, are they wonderful. And then there's Sue, who's the driver. So that threesome invited me to go for a visit, and it was a very special visit. This was the first time that they had attempted to visit this man called Max. He's married to a wife, Kate, who is 27 years old, and Kate is a client of Seed of Hope. She was diagnosed with HIV. She's HIV positive, but she's on antiretroviral drugs, ARVs. This is almost a cure. People, when they take ARV drugs, they are able to live a normal life. And so she is doing fine since April of last year. So she initiated this home visit because her husband is HIV positive, but refuses to take ARVs. So she is very concerned for her husband, and because there's still a stigma associated with AIDS. And these people retreat from their community, and they're trying to deal with it on their own. So after a short drive, we stayed in the truck while Buli asked for permission from Max to allow us to visit. This is another Zulu tradition, to get permission from the head of the household. And after some delicate conversation, then we finally got permission. We climbed out of the truck and said it was okay to come in. We walked up to a trail to a row of houses. It's kind of like a motel, 15 by 15 foot houses all joined together. And I was struck from the contrast. South Africa is a fairly rich country. And from the view of the entranceway, as I look to the left, way off in the distance, you see the ocean. And it's down a hillside. And it's only 10 kilometers away, where you're on the coastline of Amanzimtoti, which is kind of a resort area. There's condos, and it's just on the south end of Durban along the Indian Ocean. And to the right, you look to the right before you go in, and that's Bakelwandel. That's the black township that the Seed of Hope is working in. So anyway, we go into their house, and it's just, like I said, very dark, and it's small. And there's Max lying on the left side in his bed. He's facing two plastic chairs, and it's very small, like it's cramped. And Kate is sitting on the foot of his bed, and Sue and I are just kind of standing, and we're just listening. And then the conversation starts. And it's kind of a surreal moment because everything is in Zulu, but yet you kind of understand the gist of this conversation. Because what they're trying to do is convince this man, Max, to take ARVs. Like, you can get better here. And like I said, my first impression, he's a good-looking man. He's got this trimmed goatee, and he's able to converse. Like, I don't think he's in bed. He's very weak, obviously. But everything. So then there's this alternate form of body language. Like I said, Jabu's the big one, and she's kind of telling really forceful, like, come on, let's take these drugs. You can get better. And Jabu's almost pleading, please, please, please. You know, and they take turns, and it's back and forth, back and forth. And I'm looking, boy, this is taking a long time, and I'm getting tired standing. And I kind of feel for Max, because how's he taking it all? And then finally, after an exhausting conversation, lecture, Jabu turned to me and asked if I could pray. whoa, now I'm really out of my comfort zone. I'm out of my comfort zone here. Now I have to pray, and I kind of don't know what's going on. So I asked Max, you're able to speak English? Oh, he spoke good English. So I'm going to ask him a few questions just to understand what I have to pray for here. He was obviously tired from the long conversation. So I asked what kind of work you used to do. And maybe he could do it if he's better and support his family. And he said, well, he was an installer of installation of tanks. And I had seen a lot of homes, they have tanks on top of their roofs. And I thought it was water tanks because it was more common. And he said, no, gasoline and diesel tanks for service stations. I said, whoa, there's a connection here. Like, you know, I can talk about my job with Suncor in a lab. I said, oh, I work with these materials. So I, you know, grabbed his hand, his eyes lit up, and he squeezed my hand hard. I said, Max, you have to choose life. I mean, there's an opportunity here. Take these drugs, you know, and I just, may I pray for you for this? So then the prayer starts, and yeah, he felt strong, right? So then I prayed, thanking God for placing me in this place at that moment, trusting God would save his life. He has a purpose for this beautiful couple, and they are a beautiful couple. Max can choose life and to be able to serve the community and take care of his wife. But like I said, it all seems surreal, and we're all mixed bag of emotions. And anyway, we go back to the truck, and then we clean our hands with the antiseptic, and we kind of sit there kind of stunned. And Sue said to the driver, says, boy, I think we got through him. This may be a good outcome here. Because for them, it was overwhelming, too. This was their first visit to this home. Anyway, that was Monday. Tuesday, kind of an easier day. Wednesday, another tough day. And after every day, if you've been on mission trips, there's a debrief. And that is so powerful. Angela, Les and Julia, and then Dave. We enter, we kind of help each other. Because some of us are emotional wrecks. And Wednesday, it was a tough day for all of us. So we start with prayer. And you know, and different devotions and talk, and then Angela's had this uplifting news. She says, "You know, I heard today that Max chose to take these ARVs. He went to the hospital that very day. His brother helped him get to the hospital, drove him." And I said, "Whoa, this is great!" So I thought, "This is a hallelujah moment. Everything's fine, right? That's awesome." So that was a bit of uplifting. Everything's still up and down. The next morning, it's in a kind of a day of community development lectures, and I was interrupted by Jabu and Buli, and they said, "Nick, can you come with me?" And so I had to go out of this room, and they let me know that. Sorry. After all this joy, Max had passed away. He died. I thought, how can this be, Lord? And then they asked me, like, so I go into this room, and there's, and she says, and his wife, Kate, is there. You have to comfort her. I thought, oh my, now how do I do this? So she's on a couch, and I kneel beside her on the floor, and I'm supposed to pray for this situation now. Wow. So all I can remember, there's a lot of tears, and I'm crying, and I'm saying, okay, so I pray for God's strength and comfort, and everybody's crying, and it's making it very difficult. But we got through it. I don't even remember what I kind of said, but I'm trying to comfort her. Says, there must be some purpose out of this, that there was strength in your husband, and maybe you can convince the community to turn to ARVs. I don't know what it is, but God has a plan here. Like, let's. So there was still thanks and praise, and anyway. So I go back to the room where my team was, and they knew the story. You know, Carl Waldron was there, and they gathered around me, and they lay hands, and another powerful moment, prayer and comfort. And I thought, wow, you know. And at that moment, all I could think of was this Seed of Hope staff. They deal with this every day. I mean, I was there with just one little sliver of time, and it's still profoundly impacting me. So, I'll just finish quickly here. Guys are going to Sunday school here. Well, this is a tough Sunday school here. Sorry. Anyway, I went with Dan Weens, and he's in charge of farming God's way. And that was my healing journey right at the very end. I mean, it was still raw. And I thought, the rains had just come, and this is another part of this program. They have medical teams, they have education, and then farming God's way. And when the rains come, everything turns green, and then they can plant their stuff in this ground, and they can grow beans and rice and become self-sufficient. I thought, boy. And he calls it, this mulch layer on the soil, God's blanket. And I call this my healing journey. Like I said, I also realize the entire leadership and staff know about each other's concerns and challenges. I want to say one word of scripture here from Jeremiah 29, verse 11, 13. And you think you come into a situation that I know what has to be done. No, I don't. I figured Max was going to get better. No, God had another plan. He died while I was there. So Jeremiah 29, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And this whole concept, Seed of Hope, that's the name of the organization. So I look for hope. Romans 15, verse 13. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." In Seed of Hope, they always, when they pray, they all pray together. And some of her in Zulu, the staff is mainly Zulu. So I want to close in prayer here. And if you want to pray for the Seed of Hope staff, and it would be wonderful to hear everybody pray out loud at the same time. This is how they pray there. And it is very powerful. And then they all quieten down, and then that's the end. So I'm just going to pray here, and you can pray at the same time, or just quietly, or just listen. Dear Lord, we thank you for this hope that you give us. We thank you for placing the staff of the Seed of Hope in the community of Bakelwandel. It is such a difficult journey that they're on, but they do such wonderful work. We just ask you that you continue to encourage them in the situations that you already know the outcome for a better future. We think we know your plans, and your plans are so much better than what we can foresee. We ask that you keep guiding them and plant this seed of hope in this dark corner of the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.